Let's go ahead and get started in here. We've got a lot of material to cover tonight, and I thought this first class, we'd be giving an introduction of it. I'll be out of town next week. I'll be in a gospel meeting up in Huntsville, Alabama, and Josh, who taught these first five or six books of the Minor Prophets, will attempt to cover the book of Micah. He's got seven chapters, I think it is, and I said, just get as far as you can, and if you can get all the way, that'll be real good. I think it's important for us to have the background and the understanding. Minor Prophets, what is that all about? Well, let's just give some of the background history. Let's start with the death of Solomon. Anybody have any idea about what year Solomon died? If you said 25,000 BC, I guess that is about. Is anybody get a little bit closer than 25,000 BC? I think it's a rather important date. The date is 931 BC. You don't have to remember it that specifically. In my mind, I put the reign of David at the year 1000. Just helps me break the Bible up into some 500-year segments. And so David reigns for about 40 years, and Solomon begins his reign in 931, or dies in 931 BC. Now, what happens is, after Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided. Look at that next slide. I hope it's the map that will come up there. I don't know if you'll be able to see everything that is involved there, but you see the green area of that map? That's where the northern kingdom of Israel was. It's a map of the Bible lands, and down in that southern part, the bottom part of that screen, is where Judah was, because there were two kingdoms. Now, here is something I want us to do, and whoever's back there, Buzz, do not change. I mean, go to the next slide, but don't fill in the blanks. I'm going to ask everyone in here to try to fill in the blanks. How much do you know about that northern kingdom? Anybody want to volunteer an answer to any one of these? Anybody know the name of that northern kingdom?
Israel.
What? I'm not hearing it, and I hope you said Israel, and it didn't sound like two syllables, but you said it right. Judy's shaking her head, yes, and so it is Israel. What's the name of the southern kingdom, by the way? It's Judah. Do you have trouble remembering which one is Israel and which one is Judah? I remember things tilted inside my head. And, one of those starts with an I, the other starts with a J. Well, see, your eyes are before your jaws. And so the northern kingdom is the I one, okay? And so that northern kingdom is Israel. Who was the first king? Well, first king of the northern kingdom. One of the Boim brothers, right? Who? Not Saul. First king of the northern kingdom, not the United Kingdom. Who's the first king of the northern kingdom? All right, I believe I heard somebody say Jeroboam, and if you'll talk loud, that'll help me a lot and everything. It's Jeroboam, the first king of the southern kingdom. You know him? Rehoboam. I used to think those guys were identical twins. I mean, it's just as my childhood understanding of this, the names rhyme, and so you got Rehoboam, got Jeroboam. I really thought for a long time they had to be brothers and probably were identical twins. They are not related at all. And so, but the first king of that northern kingdom was Jeroboam. What's the major tribe? This is a little bit more difficult. And this is important to know, because when the prophets write and discuss the sins of the northern kingdom, oftentimes they call it by the name of that northern kingdom. The dominant tribe in that northern kingdom was Ephraim. And so whenever the Lord wants to talk to the entire nation of the northern kingdom, he calls them Ephraim sometimes. And so that's important. It's an important part. What about the capital city? Capital city of the northern kingdom. It's Samaria. Thank you very much. You remember the Samaritan woman? You know, that's not a part. She was not a part of the northern kingdom. That kingdom had no longer existed when he got the New Testament. But the city of Samaria was there, and that land known as Samaria was. And sometimes the prophets will, as they write to the entire nation, will talk about Samaria. Why do they do that? For the very thing we say, wonder how Moscow feels about this. You know, wonder how London feels about this. And we do that very same thing, but if we do not know the name of the capital of that northern kingdom, then we are in trouble. Here's what I think you will know. The number of kings in the northern kingdom. 19. Does everybody know that? 19. How many of them were good? Not a single one of them. Now then, what's the date of the end of that northern kingdom? About how long after Solomon died and we had that division, you know, almost had a civil war between the north and the south, didn't got come about, but the kingdom was divided. And how long did that northern kingdom live? About how long? If I say it's somewhere between 1 and 300 years, what would you guess? Between 100 and 300 years. 200 years, your guesser is really, really good. In fact, the date is 722 B.C. And I'm not a big one necessarily for knowing dates, but to get concepts. About how long is America? How old is America? It's a little over 200. So this northern kingdom existed about the same period of time that America has existed, for about 200 years. And then it was taken captive by what nation? Did I hear someone say Assyria? That is the one. And what was the destiny of... What happened to that northern kingdom? Well, it ceased to exist, but what happened to it? Well, they were scattered by the Assyrians throughout all of the Assyrian world. Let's look at the map that follows, and there are two things on the map that... we're not ready for the map. Let's fill in the blanks. Oh, you've already got the blanks filled in. Thank you. Let's go to that map that's after that. And that will help us find the Bible land. I don't know, but maybe that's not large enough for you to see. But do you see the Mediterranean Sea? I don't know if you can see. It's called there the Great Sea. You see the large blue area of water that is on the left side of the map? That's the Mediterranean Sea. And right beside the Mediterranean Sea, you see the word Jerusalem. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. I'm not able to see it on the screen in the back. Maybe you're able to see it on the screen in the front. But that's Jerusalem. So that's where the Jews were. They were in that land of Palestine and everything. But on this map are two nations that are highlighted. The first one is Syria. You see that diagonal line that runs upward? That is Syria. And I put that on the map because when the northern kingdom exists, one of the major problems they have is with Syria. Southern kingdom has the same problem, but you read so often about Syria. Now, Syria is not not the same as Assyria. And so on that map, you know, diagonally downward is Assyria. And so that gives us some idea of what happened. Kingdom was divided. There's that northern kingdom. And the Assyrian army reached such ascendancy that it came over and totally wiped out the northern kingdom. One of the prophets, the Lord says, in reference to the northern kingdom, I will overthrow. God said it three times. God said, they're gone. And that's what happened. When the Assyrians came in, that kingdom ceased to exist. Now then, let's look at the southern kingdom. And we'll try to fill in some of the blanks, shout out the answers loud enough that I can hear them. Who's the first king of the southern kingdom? If it's not Jeroboam, it's the other Boam. Who is that one? Rehoboam. And so he's Solomon's son. And so the southern kingdom continues to follow the house of David, and every king of the southern kingdom was of the house of David. You know, just like in England, you've got the ascendant, you've got these families that have been there for years and years. In the northern kingdom, they'd wipe out the entire family, and then they'd bring in another king, bring in another family. and they'd run maybe sometimes just one king or two kings, and all of a sudden they'd wipe out every one of those, and they'd bring in another family of kings. And so that's not the case in the southern kingdom. God, in fact, said to David that that the kingdom will be yours until the Messiah comes, until Shiloh comes. The major tribe of the southern kingdom. Is that hard? Well, did I ask you the name of that southern kingdom? Yeah, I ask it Judah. But what's the major tribe? What would you guess would be the major tribe of a kingdom that's called Judah? That's a freebie right there. And that is, it is Judah. What's the capital city? What's the capital city of that southern kingdom? It's Jerusalem. And so when the kingdom divides, you've got Samaria in the north. That's Israel. Remember, eyes up at the top. And down at the bottom, you've got the kingdom of Judah. You've got the southern kingdom. And Jerusalem is the capital city. How many kings in the southern kingdom? 19 kings in the southern kingdom. How many of them were good? There were four of them. I was hoping Bobo would be here tonight. I was tempted to do what we did way, way back under 4 or 5 years ago. And I got Bobo up. It could have been as many as 10 years ago. And Bobo stood over there in that first section over there. And I walked over there and he was saying, Asa, Asa, Asa. And I said, what's your name, sir? Asa. Asa was the guy's name. He then stood in this place, the second good king, and he kept doing this. So fat. So fat. So fat. Well, what's your name, sir? Jehoshaphat. And so you've got Asa, you got Jehoshaphat, and then there's another man over here had his fist all clenched up. And I said, you have something in your fist? He says, yes, I have Hezekiah in my. And so you got Hezekiah is the fourth of those good kings. And some of you are looking at me, Dan, you are insane. But I'm telling you, listen to this. I'd rather remember my insane way and remember it as for you to try to remember it in your smart way. You're probably not that smart. I mean, some of you are and everything, but it really helps me. And the third guy was over in that fourth kingdom, and I walked over there, and Josiah was just going, oh. He was sighing. Who's the fourth good king? Josiah. And so you've got Asa, you've got Asa, you've got Jehoshaphat, you've got Hezekiah, and you got Josiah. I don't know if that'll help you remember that or not. And maybe I shouldn't have taught that and everything. Now then, the date of the end of that kingdom. 606 B.C. That's an important date, about 600 years before the coming of the Messiah. God just about does away with the southern kingdom because they are taken captive by what nation? By Babylon. They're taken captive by Babylon. And their destiny in Babylon, how long were they there? They were there 70 years and then they came back. Look at that map that's on the next slide, and all I've done is taken the word Assyria off and put the word Babylon there. Because what happened was the Babylonian kingdom was, well, first the Syrian kingdom was in ascendancy, not as powerful as Assyria was. Then Assyria becomes a real great power, and then all of a sudden Babylon comes along. And so that is where they were taken. You can see where the word Babylon is. There is the geographic area known as Babylon. There's also the city called Babylon. And so in 606, the Jews were taken captive. Some of them were taken captive on that first trip that Nebuchadnezzar made. And that's the beginning of the captivity. And they were over there in Babylon for 70 years. And so their destiny was to return. We make a point here, and I've made it here because sometimes we do not see this. When the decree went out, Go back to the slide one more time. When the decree, to the mouth, when the decree went out for the Jews to return from Babylon in captivity, Babylon had fallen. And to Persia, is not even on that map, which if you just see where Babylon is, that next nation over is the nation of Persia. And so all of the power, world power that Babylon controlled, now Persia steps into that. But let's get to that next slide. And Buzz, you were right about that. Nebuchadnezzar came not one time, he came three different times to carry Jews captive. And the third time that he came, you know, he destroyed the city. In that first group, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken to Babylon. Now, there were others, but those are names that we would recognize. Nebuchadnezzar was not King Nebuchadnezzar at that time. His father was king. And so up in a place called Carchemish, and that you'll see that on some Bible maps, he fought up in that area, but his father died. Well, he was afraid he would not be the next king. And so he had already come down to Jerusalem, and when he goes back to assure that he will be the next king of Babylon, he carries those four young men whose name we know. He came back a second time because one of the vassal kings that he had set up rebelled against him. And so he had to come back and reestablish. And at that time, Ezekiel was taken. And finally, he comes back the third time. And so when he comes back the third time, the city is leveled. I'm not sure exactly how many of those things we have there. Look at that second line that's on there, the bullet point. In 536, Babylon was destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. And so in the first year of the reign of King Cyrus, not Babylon, the Persian kingdom, in the first year of the reign of Cyrus, a decree went out to all of the world that every Jew that wanted to could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. This is key. Only a remnant ever returned. But evidently, some from each of the tribes returned. How do we know that? Because when they came back, they offered sin offerings and came back and reestablished the worship. They offered sin offerings for all 12 tribes. And so here's the decree that goes out. The northern kingdom they were not in Babylon. It wasn't just limited to Babylon. Wherever the Assyrians had transported and placed the Jews, the message got out there. And so when you get to the New Testament, there is a lady in the New Testament by the name of Anna. You're looking frowning. Baby Jesus, taken to the temple to be dedicated. There is Simeon, the older man that's there, and there is this widow named Anna. I think it is ironic that the Bible tells us what tribe she was from. She's from the tribe of Asher, as I recall. And so that shows that they came back from all of the tribes, and they still had their identity at that time. And so sometimes we just think, well, only those in Babylon came back. No, the decree was worldwide, and so when they came back, they offered sacrifices for all of the tribes. Because they had been disobedient to God, and God had scattered them through the Assyrians throughout the Assyrian world, and particularly the Jews were taken to Babylon. And so that's a point that sometimes we do not fully capture. And so sometimes you'll meet somebody who'll talk about the 10 lost tribes. We don't know what happened to them. We know exactly what happened to them. You read 2 Kings 17, and it will tell you exactly what happened. I think it is interesting about King Cyrus. Why on earth would he do that the first year he became king? Because the Bible says the Lord stirred up his spirit Let me tell you one of the ways the Holy Spirit of God could have stirred up his spirit. Because 200 years before he was born, about 200 years before he was born, Isaiah, who lived 750 B.C., writes and calls by name Cyrus. And 200 years before Cyrus is born, the message of the Old Testament was, Cyrus is going to be the one that will rebuild Jerusalem. And so whenever Cyrus becomes king, Josephus indicates that somebody took to him the writings of Isaiah. Josephus says that's the way it happened. We don't know this entirely specifically. Josephus is not an inspired writer, but a Jewish historian, and said that someone carried in to Cyrus that Old Testament verse and said, hey, could we show you something in the Jewish Bible? Do you know the God of Israel prophesied you by name and called you by name 200 years before you were born? And so that's exactly what happened. And so he issues that decree, and a remnant of all of the tribes returned. Now then, they returned under three different leaders. And the names are there on the screen. That might help you if you're able to read the words that are there. There were three different waves of Jews that returned. There is Zerubbabel, and at the time that he came back, there were some 40,000 that came. You know, pre-captivity. There might have been as many as 500,000 to a million people that were in Jerusalem or in that nation. But whenever the decree goes out, they've been in captivity 70 years. They don't want to go back to a ruined city and live in a place that's in shambles. But only the remnant returns. And Zerubbabel brings back the first group. There is a much, much smaller group that comes back with Ezra. Old Testament book. Zerubbabel comes and he rebuilds the city. Ezra comes back and restores the worship. He's a priest. And so after they've come back, they've rebuilt the city. Ezra comes back and they rebuild the worship. And so they've got all of that. When Nehemiah comes, they rebuild the wall. Go back to Zerubbabel, they rebuild the temple. Whenever I talk about it. But it is Ezra who brings about the restoration of the worship back to it the way it ought to be. Now then, having stated all of that, the Old Testament ends with the last of the prophets in the Old Testament. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. And so when you get to the end of Malachi, who lives after the restoration, we'll look at all of these and talk about pre-restoration or, you know, post-revelation in just a minute. But after Malachi lays his pen down, for the next 400, maybe a little over 400 years, for the next 400 years, there is not one single prophet. The first man that prophesied that we know of in the Bible is Enoch. Jude calls him, Jude says he prophesied. Enoch that walked with God. Enoch before Noah. Noah was a prophet of God, was he not? A preacher of righteousness? And so you've got Enoch, you've got Noah. The first man specifically called a prophet is one that we don't really think of, and that's Abraham. First man called a prophet is Abraham. But God spoke through the prophets. And so as you get to the time of Moses, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me. Moses calls himself a prophet, and he prophesies about someday another prophet, the Messiah, will come, and he'll speak the words of God, and just like I have done. But finally, when they got to the end of Malachi, somebody says, why did God stop sending prophets? He did not have anything else to say to the Jews they needed to hear. Isn't that amazing? The last two chapters of Malachi, very short chapters, one is a prophecy about the coming of John the Baptist, and the other is a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And God said, that's it. He's coming. Bye-bye. And all of a sudden, 400 years later, there is a voice in the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You remember who that is? That's John the Baptist. What does he look like? He dresses like Elijah did. They thought Elijah was out there. They went out and said, are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not Elijah. I am the forerunner of the Messiah, and you guys had better repent because God is about ready to establish his kingdom. Yes, James. I'm sorry. Guys, don't ever lose your hearing. It is the most frustrating thing that's ever happened in my life. Go ahead, James. I heard you, but some of them were sort of good. Does that make sense? And so they're not listed among the good kings, if that's what you're asking about. You know, there were some of them that did, but then it will say, but nevertheless, it didn't remove the idols. You know, he ruled, you know, the good kings tried to say, but there never was a good, you know, they were good and bad, and so we put them in the bad list over there. Same thing in the northern kingdom. You've got Jehu in the northern kingdom. But he asked about some of the others, and were they good kings or not good kings? We give that list of four because those are the ones whose lives were exemplary. Those whose lives were exemplary. Now then, let me make sure that I sure thought I had something, another whole section in here, but it appears that it has disappeared and probably don't have the time to cover it. To cover it anyway. We may come back and cover it later. Let's look at the dates of the major and the minor prophets. I've got the word dates in quotes because I'm not talking about the year they prophesied. But in relationship to this Old Testament period of time, where are these prophets? Those last 17 books of the Bible appear. Where do those prophets fit in? Well, the Jews are the ones who arranged the books in that particular order. They did a reasonable job in putting them in a proper way. They were not necessarily trying to put it exactly in the proper order. But they are the ones who made the division of the major prophets and the minor prophets. How many major prophets were there? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. How many major prophets are there? There's only four. Lamentation is not one of the prophets, but it's one of the five books of the major prophets. And it's the Lamentation of Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote Lamentation. But we generally talk about there are five books of the major prophet, and then we say, and they're that way because of size. Well, okay, but Lamentation, not very big. And so that's not exactly the criteria that was used. But the importance that they saw that those individuals had. Now then, in relationship to the time of the Babylonian captivity, of those major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, how many of them lived before the Babylonian captivity? Obviously, Isaiah did, because 200 years before the birth of Cyrus, he talked about Cyrus. And then Jeremiah, lives during that very time before the final fall of the city of Jerusalem. Jeremiah does. And so of the four major prophets. Now then, those who've been in classes, and if you want to know when the prophets live, it's real easy on some of them. You look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, and Isaiah will tell you exactly who was king in the southern kingdom whenever he prophesied. You can nail his date down very, very specifically. You can nail down Jeremiah very specifically. You can nail Ezekiel down to the very year that he prophesied. He is that specific about the year that he prophesied. Ezekiel does. Now then, if we say two of the four kings lived before the captivity, or two of the four major prophets lived before the captivity, how many of them lived during the captivity of those major prophets? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Where's Daniel? He's over in Babylon. Daniel is in Babylon for 70 years. He lived throughout all of the captivity. Now, you tell me how old you think Daniel is, and then add 70 years to that, because it's not young prophet Daniel that's thrown in the lion's den. Is Daniel a teenager when he's taken captive? The choices of the young men, are you going to carry a 10-year-old? Don't think so. Could he have been 20, perhaps? But let's give him the year 15. That we don't know that's how old he was, but about 15. He's about 15 when he's carried over to Babylon. He's among the choices of the young men. He's over there 70 years. How old is he when the Jews return back from Babylonian captivity? 70 plus 15 is what? That's 85. He is no spring chicken whenever all of that happens. He's an 85-year-old man, and every painting you've seen of Daniel in the lion's den, he's not an old man in the lion's den. They just missed it because he's thrown into Babylon, into the lion's den over in Persia, not in Babylon, but as an 80 plus 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, up to 20 years of age. He could have been 80 years of age, 90 years of age, could have been 90 years of age in the lion's den. We'll say major prophets, two before captivity, two of them during the captivity. In fact, Ezekiel is over in the Babylon-Persian area, and God either in his spirit or literally carries him back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem has not yet been destroyed, and in keeping the commandments of God, God tells Ezekiel, you dig through, go over there, it's a vision, and say, dig through the walls of the temple. The temple is still in existence. He went over there in the second wave. Temple's still there. He digs through the wall, and when he gets inside, here all the priests in the book of Ezekiel worshiping God. Oh, they're not worshiping God. They've turned their back away from the altar, and they worship the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and stars. They had totally forgotten about God, and that's why they're in captivity. Ezekiel gives you a lot of insight into how ungodly that nation was even as the captivity was going on. Let's get to the minor prophets. How many minor prophets are there? Anybody want to guess, or shall you look at the screen to see if the words might just pop up there just in a moment? There are 12 minor prophets. How are they divided between Babylonian captivity before or after the Babylonian captivity? I wish it was 6 and 6. It'd be so much easier, you know, because it's 2 and 2 over there. It's not 6 and 6 over here. It is 9 and 3. There are 9 of those prophets, minor prophets, who live prior to the time of the Babylonian captivity. It's the last 3 of those prophets. You get to Zephaniah, he's still before the captivity, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi. Those are the last 3 Old Testament books. And they are written after they come back from Babylonian captivity. It is interesting that they are specifically mentioned, some of those men, Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, the things that are transpiring, you can nail down pretty tightly where those individuals live. So what are we going to be studying? Well, Josh has already taught the first 5 of these books, and next week he's going to teach number 6, and I believe I've got the last 6 to cover in the classes that intervene. So I will not be here next week. I'll be in the gospel meeting, but Josh, who did a good job on those first 5 books, will cover as far as he can in the book of Micah, and then we'll take up after that, and then we'll look at those final 6 books. All of them are relatively short. Some of them have 3 chapters, some have 4, you know, some have as many as 12. So Josh had the longer problem in teaching those first 5. There are a lot of chapters. You get to Hosea, there are 14 chapters, and that you can't cover 14 chapters in Hosea in a week's time. And I was in the class while Josh was teaching it. Josh, you did a good job teaching it and everything. But it's good. That's where we're headed. I hope this review has helped you. I really hope that it's helped you. Kingdoms divided, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. Northern kingdom into Assyria, over to Nineveh, and scattered all over the Assyrian world 200 years after Solomon dies. 300 years after Solomon dies, same thing happens to the southern kingdom, except they're not scattered by Babylon all in the world. They're taken over to Babylon. They come back from Babylonian captivity, and they reestablish Judaism. And there are 3 of those last books, which we will be studying in this Wednesday night class, 3 of those books that were there whenever they came back from Babylonian captivity. One of those books is really important because it is in the figurative language like the book of Revelation. There are horses running over the earth in the book of Zechariah. Hope you'll find that interesting, and we'll wait till we get there to look at it. Thank you so much for the way you've listened tonight.